Hello everybody, this is Clint Locklear with a rant of a free trapper, and this one may be a little bit more of a rant than normal instead of just thoughts of a free trapper, but I want us to think about two things today. This probably won't be a long podcast, I don't think, unless I just get ranting and raving too much, but I want us to think about consumerism and diversity. Just those two things. In the last couple of days, that's kind of been on my mind from just different things I've heard people say. Now, I want to start with consumerism. Now, what is your first response to consumerism? When you think about it, what is it that you really think? What do you feel down in your gut? Because, you know, I personally think we as Americans have been shamed that we've got a wealthy country. We've been shamed to think that somehow, because we're a wealthy country, that other countries are poor. No, like Mexico is poor because of the way that their government is ran and they steal from each other left and right through bribes and governments and police and the cartels running around the way that they are. That's the reason Mexico can't get ahead. Because I can tell you from being on the border, it's not from lack of intelligence. I have met some of the most awesome first generation and second generation Mexicans when it comes to human beings. Brilliant people. So it's not that. But when you think about why we should be ashamed, because, I mean, let's just face it, the reason that a lot of countries are poor that the way they are is it's just choices they're making on an every day and every year and every century basis, how they run their government, how they allow people to be free or not to be free. I understand everything is more complicated in the real world than just saying something like this. But for the most part, most countries are poor because they make poor decisions. And they're especially if they're more of a socialistic type base, they're gonna be poor. So we're not, at least we're not as of yet. You know, we seem to be going down that socialism road all the time. We're getting closer and closer to AK-47 carrying communists, but we're not there yet. But we're ashamed because our country has done good financially. Look at the tiny house movement. Look at everybody that thinks that you should always declutter. Now there's reasons to declutter, but not because of shame, for goodness sake. It's clear people are ashamed of having the ability to buy stuff. Now, I want you to think about something in a realistic term. When you have a liberal or somebody else that says something about consumerism, I want you to realize what that really is. One, it's going to be on a socialistic basis. Okay. Secondly, only people of such privilege in their life, and Americans, we have privilege. You know, you're not going to go hungry. You'll get food on a EBD card that you can go get food. If you can't get your heat, there's a government product for that. You need a cell phone, there's a government product for that. I mean, pretty much your health care, everything. So we do have privilege. And that's why when you see in Walmart and someone's paying with the EBT card and they're buying nothing but junk food, that is a privileged poor person because they have the ability to live and they just buying Twinkies and Ho-Hos and Mountain Dews and ice cream and potato chips. They're spending all their needy food stamp money on that because they're privileged poor people. I mean, that's how amazing America is. Is our poor people are actually privileged. But only, guys, someone that is really privileged. I want you to think about how just insane this is. Only someone that is really privileged will look at consumerism and go, oh, that's bad. We shouldn't be consumers. You know, we're whatever the reasons are. But you can kind of put it in the valley girl voice or the hippie voice or whatever it is. Consumerism is bad. Now see, only a super privileged person would think that. Because what would happen, seriously, if we went to the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa and pulled out a tribe and set them down downtown Miami with Walmarts and Krogers and Publix and restaurants and food trucks and all that, do you think those people that has been trying to live off of honey that they have to get stung out of to get of a tree, or they're worried about going out and hunting because the next tribe's going to cut their head off, or they're milking the cow, their blood cow, the blood out of their cows to try to get as much maximum nutrition out of a cow while they milk it because they need the protein. Do you think they're going to look at Walmart as a evil thing? No. They're going to look at it and go, look at all of this food. This is awesome. Look at all of this food. They would not see consumerism from a negative. See, only rich people see consumerism as a problem. And that's because rich people, for whatever reason, feel guilty because they have it easier. But have you ever met a poor person that thinks consumerism is evil? If they need something, don't you think they wish they had the consumer power to go buy it? So it's a wealthy. And most of the time, it's why you see all these little hipster kids coming out of college that spend crazy amounts of money at outdoor stores where they buy clothes that look like they're used and makes them look like they're homeless, but they're spending 10 times more than they would if they bought it at any other store. They want to give the impression that they're above consumerism. Why they're spending more money on clothes than anybody else. Only the fragilely minded, super wealthy of the world could even come up with a concept that consumerism is bad. Because you could take the richest liberal in the world, someone that hates capitalism as much as Michael Moore, and take his fat ass and not let him eat for a couple of weeks, or he had to grow his own food, and let him come up with a pocket full of money at a store and watch how much he hates consumerism. Because Michael Moore is not the shape of Michael Moore because he doesn't like to buy easy food and eat it. It's just hypocritical. It's crazy. When you think about the idea of the evil way that people look at consumerism. See, I think if you're a wealthy country like ours, we should just be proud of it and own it. There's no reason to be ashamed of it. People have done a lot of sacrifices and done a lot of things generationally to have us in the place that we're at right now. And I almost think it's like forgetting the faces of your father. When you basically spit on all those sacrifices to get us to right there. So the next time you hear consumerism and you have this little guilt pain because that's what our society's leading us for, just think about that. Only the super privileged would ever come up with a concept of consumerism is bad. Because poor people sure don't come up with it. Which brings us to just a little thought nugget. When you hear the crazy socialist rich kids that are always talking about consumerism, think about the person that is saying it. They're so wealthy in life that they try to find something wrong with the ability for people to buy stuff. It's crazy. Now, the second thing I want to talk about is the diversity. Now, the reason this one's on my mind, I just did a podcast on the Regenerative Permaculture Farmer Garden podcast that you can find at the Farmer's Grove. You can get it on Apple, iTunes, and you can listen to it on Stitcher. And the title is Diversity is Death for a Permaculture Community. And the reason it led me down to speak about that, because I've never been in part of a permaculture community. It's not something I'm really that interested in getting into, to be honest with you. But I have lived in a community for 5 years. A true community with zero diversity, and it functioned crazy good. I mean, crazy good it functioned. Now, just for everybody to keep an open mind about this, when I say I was in a community with lack of diversity and it functioned well, what comes to your mind? Seriously, what do you think that means? Because I think that the definition that the world has given diversity is false. It's a black flag. It's a way to get people to have motivations and actions and take resources from one group to another because of the lack of understanding about what the word means. That's why words matter. Diversity, what does it mean? I was in a community for 5 years with zero diversity. It was the military, guys. 5 years. Infantry, 502nd, 503rd, 6th Infantry Division. Three different units, zero diversity. Two of them were in Kentucky. We spent part of our time in the Middle East. The rest of it was in Alaska. We spent part of our time in Southeast Asia. Zero diversity. Even when we were working with Thai Special Forces, there was zero diversity. Now, how can I say that? Because I was working with Mexicans and Puerto Ricans and black people and people from South Africa and Koreans and women and Native Americans, people from South America, people from the British Isles, at least our territories anyway. One guy that I can think of was from Iceland. We worked with Brits. How can I dare say that all those skin colors and all those different backgrounds of those people come from different continents with zero diversity? One, because it was. We were soldiers. We thought like soldiers. We looked at the world like soldiers. We did our daily routine as soldiers. We all did. It didn't make any difference. We all did. You had your hair cut a certain way. You had to wear a certain type of uniform. You had to do PT. You had to do your training. You had to, no matter what your job was, you had certain things that everybody in the military does. There was no diversity. None. There was not very much diversity of thought. Now, were there little, you know, stuff that would happen every now and then? Yeah, we're humans. But there was very little problems in the military between soldier and soldier. Because there was no diversity. And it worked. Didn't matter what gender. Of course, back when I was in the Army, we only had two genders, a male and a female. Now there's, last count I've heard, it's over 100 now of genders. But see, when I was in the Army, it was at least two. Maybe that's the reason we got along better. I don't know. But there was zero diversity, and it worked. Now, when you go to L.A., and you drive from one end of L.A. to the other, is there diversity in L.A.? Oh, you bet your ass there is. And one group of that diversity and one group of this diversity will slit your throat just for the giggles of it. They will make fun of you. They will try to oppress you. They will try to take your money. They will do all kind of different things. But it's not the color of somebody's skin that makes them diverse. It's their thought. You stick me with a gangbanger, that's diversity. I don't believe in what they do as far as the aggression of their everyday lives. Now, it doesn't matter why they think that way. It just matters that there is. Because you stick a gangbanger into the military, he's either going to get out or he's going to get his butt kicked till he changes. But there will be zero diversity from that. And what I was saying in this podcast, just to break it down very, very shortly, just so you can understand, There was a gentleman by the name of Paul Wheaton out of Montana that started this really cool permaculture community. There's a lot of reasons, guys, to be in a community like that if it ever worked. Think about if there's 10 of you out there and y'all all need a tractor. And y'all all need a two-wheeled tractor. And you need the different implements to put in your produce to take to market and stuff like that. And you have your hand tools and all this stuff. What would it mean to that farmer if out of every 10 people they pulled their money and bought a tractor? Now, I mean, there's going to be issues with that before you jump to that saying it won't work. It definitely could work. What would it mean for the financial outlay to those farmers if everybody in, say, 10 or 20 could share that stuff? It'd be a huge difference in what you actually made at the end of the year. That's one of the reasons to have a permaculture community. Another one is just to be around like-minded people. But see, a lot of the permaculturists are on the left, and they don't know what diversity is, or they don't understand what lack of diversity is, or why it's important one way or the other. Paul would give you an acre of ground that you could die there. $400 a year, $34 a month. You can build your house, you can grow your food, you have access to the other acreage of his, which is a little over 200, I believe. You can graze your animals on the common stuff. You know, you can make money with PDCs coming in. They had their own currency. I mean, it's a neat idea that he's trying to do. I think it could be really, really good for the right people. If there's no diversity. Because if you want to know what diversity is, watch Fox. Watch the liberal on one side and the Republican on the other. See, that's diversity. And everybody tells you diversity is pure. Diversity makes everything better. Diversity is how we grow as a species. Do you see the Republican and Democrat on Fox News on front of the blonde girl in the middle when they're just going at each other like little school kid bullies? Do you see any coming together or opening of thoughts or conversation? No. They're trying to knock each other out. No matter what the Republican says to the Democrat, Democrat don't even pay no attention because they're diverse in their thoughts from the person that's the Republican. And vice versa. Throw a libertarian in the mix, now you got three different people of diverse thoughts coming together. Throw an anarchist in there, now you got four. Throw a socialist, you got five. Throw a communist, you got six. Throw a volunteerist in like me, you got seven. And you can break those down. And you can see why they don't get along. Because diversity sucks. Diversity is the reason cities are in the shape that they're in. Diversity will destroy America. Because in Paul's permaculture community, he set it up to allow people to do what they wanted to do with very little money. He lost money doing this. There's not any money to be made on $34 a month per acre. None. It cost him more to have these people on his property, but he wanted to try to figure out how to do this community. Because of diversity, Paul, see, here's the thing. Paul gave someone an acre of ground for $34 a month, $400 a year. It's your land. You build your house, you can go use my trees and stuff for your wafatis, which is the way they're building their houses out there. Really cool, by the way, if you want to look into it. You have to grow your own food. We're not your mama. We're not going to feed you, clothe you, patter your butt. You know, your transportation is up to you. You're a grown person, man or woman, when you're on that acre. It's your acre. You can do whatever you want. So basically what he's saying is, I'm giving you the cave. You, the caveman, you've got to go out and kill it and bring it home or you're going to be awful hungry and cold. Now, that's Paul's way of looking at it, which I think is the right way. But when he allowed diversity into his community, he allowed little whining, sniveling male bitches that did not want to go out and kill it and bring it home. They wanted somebody else to go out and kill it to bring it home. They wanted to sit there, as Paul says, watch the clouds go by, and then be hungry and expect somebody to always feed them. Now, interestingly enough, one of the main guy that you can hear about on Paul's podcast, it's Homesteading Something, that you can listen to it yourself. This young man, well, young boy, young confused girl that had a penis, I guess you could say, he loved the idea of being a permaculturist and doing it all on his own and showing the skills and learning and all that type stuff until he actually had to do it. So he started getting bitter because of diversity. Paul gave him the caveman acre of ground he wanted to be taken care of. See, that's huge diversity that's never going to get along. So what did he do, like most little girls do, is he doesn't go confront Paul like a man. He starts poisoning everybody else around them. Paul's making all this money. He's the man. We got to topple the man. He's not giving us our fair share. He's the one taking advantage of us. We're being oppressed because he's only charging us $34 a month. And he poisoned everybody around him. And there was like a half revolt on Paul's permaculture in his community. He had no idea. Thought everything was going good. Woke up and all of a sudden he's been splattered all over the internet as being the meanest and dirtiest SOB in permaculture. Why? Because he allowed diversity. I think when the founders made America, guys, they were brilliant in the idea of letting states be states, which they're not anymore, but they used to be. At least, I mean, you can see the plan at the beginning. Because the Puritans got to go to their state, and they got to be Puritans. And the Protestants went to their state, and they got to be Protestant. And my Scottish kinmen from years and years ago went over from Virginia into the Appalachians, where I still live today, and they got to be Scottish. And if you didn't like the way Scottish did something, you would go find your own state, your own little group, your own city, or whatever, where you fit in, where there was a lack of diversity. But see, now, because we don't understand how dangerous diversity is, not of color, not of where someone comes from, but of their thought and their ideologies, we think it's good to have all this stuff in there. Because if you go to Chinatown when I was in Thailand, do you know there wasn't a whole lot of diversity between me and the little Chinamen and Chinawomen running around? They were entrepreneurs. They weren't expecting anybody to give them a handout. They were willing to hustle, and they were. Me and them, no diversity. They're from China. I'm from America. No diversity. When you went out to Bangkok with all the Thais and all the different nationalities, you know, in the greater Bangkok area, we didn't look the same. We didn't even speak the same language. Our skin color was totally different. There was no diversity between me and the Thai people. None. You stick me at Berkeley, California, there's going to be a diversity issue getting ready to happen. They're going to want me to be like them, and they're going to try to force me to it. Or I'm going to try to convince them that they're wrong and they don't need to be that way. And it's going to be conflict and probably come all the way down to physical fighting or one of us going to jail because one of us can get the law on their side. That's massive diversity. But see, if we listened, if we had the God-given sense that our founding fathers had, California can be the biggest, hippiest, socialist, communist state in the union, and that would be cool with me. They're not allowed to take money from any other state. They're not allowed to have any type of outreach where they have any power over any other state, which they do right now. they can be as fruity as they want to be. And we can be in Tennessee being whatever we are. That's not going to affect either one of us. See, that would be a lack of diversity. But if you were to transplant half of the Appalachia into California, there would probably not be a building left in a month because that diversity is that screwed up. Or if you bring a California into one of our commission meetings here and they started wanting to have rules like California, me and a bunch of other people would tell them basically to shut their mouth and we don't want to be like California. And there would be conflict because of diversity. Whether if we were white or male or female, whatever the sameness of that superficial diversity is, we're not going to get along. And if people try to force, and this is when you always hear of the left, and you really study the left, their main goal has always been, since about the early 1900s, is to cause such chaos in America with businesses and families and everything else, and they're doing a good job of it, that it eventually falls apart. And then they swoop in and we have this utopia of everybody's equal and all that type stuff. But the main way that they're doing it today is, quote, through diversity. Diversity, they know, will destroy America. So to me, if a Muslim man wants to come over here, and he wants to think like an American, he doesn't want someone to take care of him, he's not going to beat on his wife just because he thinks it's a good idea and it's culturally okay to where he's at, he doesn't think it's okay to rape any infidel that doesn't have a escort with her, but he's on the same page, just like me and the little Chinaman in Chinatown in Thailand was, I have no problem with that whatsoever. Because there's not going to be an issue. Oh, he may eat some different food, he may speak a different language, but as long as we can communicate and we're on the same page, who cares? But see, what the left is doing, because they perverted what the superficial diversity as being the pure way to have a better country, you're bringing in people from different parts of the country that refuse to be like Americans. They don't want to be like Americans. They want to see America destroyed. And because they cook a different kind of food and their skin color is a little different and their hair texture is a little different, that's diversity, man. That's how you know that we're getting along in the world, man. No, that's how you destroy a country. So just think about these two things as you're hearing these words thrown around. Consumerism and diversity. Don't take my word for it. Come to your own conclusion, guys. Think about what that really means. Both of those. That way you'll start seeing who the people are that wants to destroy your world, and you'll start understanding their motivations a little bit better. Because they'll want to say that someone like me, since I'm white, and especially since I'm male, and since I'm from the South, that if I don't want diversity, that means I've automatically got to be a racist. I could care less about your race. It's got to be an all, you know, the new alt-right white supremacy. No, don't care what color someone's skin is. Really don't. But if we're on the same page, there's not going to be any problem. And this goes down to smaller and smaller and smaller tribal sets. If someone is an envious person and they're around someone that's successful, that's a bad mindset to be around. That diversity of thought will destroy that relationship between those two people. You can use example after example after example. Business owners are never going to get along with Marxists. Never going to happen. So why would we even try? Why would a human put themselves through all the pain and suffering of trying to force a Marxist and a capitalist together, what would be the purpose? To destroy the culture that's already there. It's a crazy world we live in. But words do have meanings. And if you want to be educated in the world that you live in, you need to understand what the true definitions are, not just what's being thrown out at you because of propaganda.